Relationshit presents Hashtag Queer Biz,
a monthly spotlight of LGBTQ plus owned businesses.
With your hosts, the Cretellis, I am Marco.
And I'm Tony.
All right. Hello and welcome to another episode of Hashtag Gay Relationship. No, it's not Hashtag
Queer Biz. Queer Biz. What segment are you doing?
What am I doing right now? We're doing too much. This is literally
Marco's busy.
An example of us being overextended with everything.
You don't know what you're doing. No, do you know where you are?
What's today?
Are you oriented to person and place? No.
I thought you asked me if I was oriental. I was going to say that's not.
That is not a word I would use. I may be white, but I ain't stupid.
Welcome to Hashtag Queer Biz. Queer Biz. Queer Biz. We're so happy to be here. Today's a very special episode for me because this was an amazing
nomination.
Yeah, literally, we got an email from someone that is super into a queer biz, and they wrote the loveliest message
on our website.
www.podrelationship.com. That being said. they wrote in and nominated this amazing queer biz, and we've gotten to know one of the owners for a little bit, but I feel like super, like I can't wait to go visit so that we can actually get the opportunity to like see the place because it sounds super special.
I would like to make an appointment and do a walkthrough right now, please.
That being said, we would like to welcome Justin to the show, and he is co-owner of The Little Gay Shop in Austin, Texas. Justin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both for having me, and thank you to whomever sent that amazing nomination through y'all's website. It warms our heart that someone had such a positive experience at our shop.
Don't lie, it was you.
I wish.
No, he said I wish.
No, it was. It was an anonymous submission.
It was. No, I actually want to read the email that we had received just so that you can hear all of the love that was poured into this email. But the email says, The Little Gay Shop in Austin, Texas is my favorite queer-owned business. They support other queer small businesses and artists and bring it all together in a super cute physical store and website. I love that I can shop somewhere knowing that I'm supporting multiple queer-owned businesses all at once. The owners are super sweet and support our queer community in Austin. I love their unabashedly gay branding and message. It's wonderful to have a shop like this in my city, and even better to see the support they get from the community. So, someone is a huge fan of you guys.
I promise it wasn't me. I don't even know. I can't even interview well, so certainly can't send an email describing the business that positively.
Valid.
It was great. It was such a treat to see. We're so excited.
No, it's so good. Yeah. So I mean, honestly, we've been doing Hashtag Queer Biz for a few months now, and the first, you know, few episodes were definitely like me researching and finding people that I really appreciate. So you are actually our very first nomination. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been doing the podcast for 3 years, but you know, Hashtag Queer Biz was just something that was born out of COVID, actually. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, congratulations, someone really likes y'all.
That's awesome. Yeah, that makes us super, super happy.
I love it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about The Little Gay Shop? How did you guys think of it? Like, what happened to like made you guys want to build this cute little safe haven for gay queer people within Austin, Texas?
Yeah, of course. Kurt, my husband and I, and my business partner, we moved from New York City to Austin about 2.5 years ago. And when we moved here, we were just blown away at the fact that there were so few queer businesses, especially living in New York, when we could go to our bodega across the street and find so many queer magazines and queer publications and queer artwork and things like that. And there was such a culture and a community of of queerness that makes New York itself. And so when we moved down here, it wasn't here. It kind of, and it just shocked us. So we knew we wanted to change that, and we wanted to bring a lot of the magazines, books, artwork, and things that we had experienced when we lived in New York down here, and at the same time create and work within the queer community here in Austin to build connections among the different queer people living here. So shop itself is it's a queer marketplace. So all of the books, artwork, enamel pins, buttons, etc., everything else that we carry and sell is all created by a queer artist, which we had actually never, even living in New York, we had never been to a place or experienced that before. A shop 100% dedicated to carrying queer people's artwork.
Love that.
So yeah, so I think the queer community is only continuing to grow, and I think like in a business perspective, it just makes sense to start creating targeted spaces for us. But in a community perspective too, I think it's really important to build those kind of cross relationships to get lesbians to talk to gay, to talk to trans, to talk to people of color, to talk to non-binary people, to talk to everyone in between, because I think it's really easy to kind of recede into your own bubble of sameness and likeness. And
sure.
One of our goals with the shop is to really kind of get people aware of other people's perspectives. So that's why we carry artwork from people from all across the spectrum, all around the world. So we have lesbian artists from Canada. We have trans artists from New York and Austin and San Francisco and LA and Madrid and London and all over the place, just because obviously your individual experience is going to impact how you create and view the world. And so we just want to create a very diverse and inclusive set of products and create an inclusive space so that no matter who you are, when you come into our space, you are able to somehow see yourself reflected in what you are looking at.
I love that. That's a beautiful, beautiful vision. It's fantastic. I looked, and you're right. There's a very small amount of queer, specifically queer stores in Austin, and a lot of them are adult themed. They're not otherwise themed.
Exactly.
So you're definitely fulfilling a need in an area that has a very strong queer community.
Yeah. A study just came out recently saying that Austin is the third largest queer community in all of the United States. And so when you think of that aspect, and then you look at the number of queer owned businesses and the number of businesses that are specifically catering to queer identifying people, mm-hmm. it just doesn't match up. It just blows our minds. So, I mean, I encourage all queer people within Austin to use your means and your powers to start selling shit. But, yeah, we have like a tiny little strip of gay bars and some adult themed sex shops, essentially. And it was just a big, big transition moving from New York, where you can go to a bar and specifically to find like a 27-year-old twink. Like that's the demographic of the bar. You could find bears, or you can find anything in between. It's just everyone has their own little segment. There's actual lesbian bars in New York City, and we moved down here and there's no lesbian bars. Everyone here is just way more integrated, and it almost feels like people aren't, their queerness isn't the most defining aspect of their life or of their personality.
Which in some ways is really great, because there's not that pressure. There's not that differentness. But in some ways it's also challenging, because like you said, you don't have spaces that are dedicated to that.
Well, I think we as queer people, like because family tends to always kind of be the very challenging part of our identity, we always end up creating our own families. We create our own community. So it's very weird to have an entire community of queer people that don't commune, right? That like don't necessarily have the opportunity to like really see one another. Because much to your point, here in New York City, you can go to Chelsea, you can go to Hell's Kitchen, you can go to the Lower East Side, you can go, you know, in Harlem, you can go all over the city and kind of get a different queer experience. And so we kind of have like a lot of those things, but like it's a little bit of a different scenario outside, right? Because that homogenized queer experience that you get here is not necessarily everywhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's been, and to add another layer onto that, obviously being in Texas and being in the South, and we're a big city in terms of space, so there are large pockets of queer community here, but it's how do we work within the communities to connect each other? Because it could be a 45 to hour drive to get to the other part of town to realize that there's another community of queer people there. So how do we work within our space and within our frameworks and our communities to build those cross communications so that everyone does feel included and everyone does feel like there is a space for them, and that no one is trying to rework the wheel or so it's interesting.
So with all of these amazing artists that you know sell through the shop and things like that, how are you guys finding them? Like what is your process for grabbing the wares, if you will, or the art or anything like that of these queer people? Like how are you doing your research? Where are they coming from?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest ways that we find our artists is through social. Whether that is through friends and artists and members of our community that are pushing us and telling us about new people, or we're just finding them on our own, or a lot of it is through social, but then there's also a level of outreach that we're doing. So working with some publishers and distribution houses and other things like that to identify the queer artists that they carry, and thinking about how we can continue to promote and amplify their messages. And then kind of the third layer onto that is how do we engage our local queer? And the reason that I'm using queer instead of gay or anything else is that to me, queer feels like a way more inclusive term. And sure, I know a lot of people view it as, or a lot of people can view it as a derogatory term. And it does have that historical connotation. But to me, personally, it just feels inclusive because there is more to our community than being gay or being.
And we feel the same way. You're in good company.
Yeah, we definitely had to kind of adjust, especially with this podcast, because, you know, while we focus on our like gay relationship and things like that, we don't necessarily want to make any queer relationship feel like they can't listen to the podcast in general and be able to, you know, gather something from it as well. Yeah. So, it was kind of an adjustment for us too, to kind of, you know, transition over to like the term queer in not a derogatory way, but kind of in an all inclusive, like everybody, you know, everybody can kind of drink from this well, if you will. So
yeah, exactly.
We love that. Yeah, we love that. That's amazing. So tell us about the shop. So aside from like artwork and things like that, if somebody walked into the shop, first of all, what is the first thing they're going to experience? Like, what does it smell like? What does it feel like? What are we hearing, you know, in terms of like the music and all that stuff when we walk through the doors?
Yeah. For one, the shop, it's tiny. It is a converted storage unit. So I think it's about 145 square feet, which
love it.
It's
about little gay shop.
Yeah. Put in the little and little gay shop for sure, which is about the size of like a standard Manhattan apartment. So anyone in New York should feel just as home. But so it's tiny, but you walk in, and on the left-hand side, we have a whole bookcase with all of our queer literature, queer magazines, bunch of stickers, buttons, flare items, enamel pins, patches. On the right side is our apparel. So we have a bunch of local vendors that we work with to create some really awesome queer shirts and hats and beanies. In terms of smell, we actually are working with a local vendor who makes candles. His name is Jimmy. He runs, or he's one of the founders of this company, this local company called Flame Candle Co. He's just a high school teacher, and he makes candles on his part-time hustle. But we are currently burning a new collaboration candle called Dolly, after Dolly Parton. So it smells like magnolia and peach.
I love that.
Not Salvador Dali or the Dalai Lama, Dolly Parton.
Nope, Dolly Parton. I mean, we are in Texas, so we definitely very have to queer. Very lean queer. Into it. Yeah, she's such an icon. Yeah, we're really excited.
She is an icon.
We've worked with Jimmy to create a whole line of kind of queer icon and queer trailblazer candles. So we have Freddie Mercury, Marsha P. Johnson, Harvey Milk, Diana Ross, love. Dolly Parton. So we're really excited about those. And then love in terms that. Of music and what it sounds like, it kind of depends on the day of what Spotify playlist I'm listening. But of recently, it has been a lot of Chromatica.
Okay, I love it. Shout out to Gaga.
Of lately, it's either been Chromatica or like some Queen Freddie Mercury playlist.
I love it.
Fantastic.
Love that. I noticed that you guys carry a really cool rare magazine collection. So you guys have like Butt Magazine and Hello Mr. Magazine and things of that nature too. I love the collection of like rare, you know, gay magazines and things of that nature. That's like absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, and I think kind of getting back to the what I was mentioning earlier is like here. Like our space is one of the only spaces within like a 400-mile radius, if not in the South, to carry some of the things that we carry. So Hello Mister, or Butt Magazine, or Tomorrow Man, or Physique Pictorial, or LSTW, Butch Is Not a Dirty Word. All of these magazines you can't find anywhere else in Texas. You can't find anywhere else in the Southwest. We could really only find in New York or maybe San Francisco or some of the other larger cities. So it was really important for us to bring these really important queer pieces of literature into our shop so that people here in Austin can be exposed to that and experience that and understand those stories, because they're really, really important stories to tell.
Absolutely. I think it's such an incredible testament to the hard work and dedication and devotion that the two of you have. You opened last year, right, in 2019?
So originally when we opened, we were just doing pop-ups. So we would we would just table. We were at lots of different queer venues or queer focused venues. So at breweries, at I don't know, anywhere that we could sling our gay shit, we were popping up our table at.
Love that.
So we did that for about 6 or 7 months, and then come March when COVID hit and South by Southwest was canceled and we had like 10 events canceled overnight. All of the venues that we would normally host our pop-ups at had closed because they were no longer allowed to be open. And then at that time, my husband was actually furloughed from his job for about a month. And so we stumbled on the storage container and signed the lease and opened up within a month after signing. So we've only been open in a physical space for 2.5 months now.
Oh my God. Wow. So the fact that you guys have made such an impact in such a short period of time is like incredible.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is you've amassed this incredible conduit for multicultural global queerness, some really important, unique art, some great expression, this whole gamut of things from art to magazines to apparel. You even have children's books.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like I was saying earlier, we just really want, no matter who the customer that comes into our shop is, we want them to be able to access something that is queer art, because queer art is obviously so much more than just like Tom of Finland dick drawings, which have a really important part of the canon of queer art and queer history. Sure. But there's so much more to it. There's children's books, there's enamel pins, there's patches, there's all of the above. So it's been really important for us to create a really diverse array of products so that when anyone comes in, they can find something that speaks to them.
Yeah, it's incredible. You and I especially love the curated t-shirts. I think they're fantastic. I'm a big t-shirt fan. I mean, you know, I love art. I love poetry. I'm not totally based, but I do love my t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, and to add to that too, I think it's, when people talk about art, I think there's this kind of stigma that it has to be a $1 million painting at MoMA, mm-hmm. or it almost has this essence of being inaccessible, but it's not. It's so accessible. It's a poster, it's a print, it's a postcard, it's an enamel pin or a button. Really making artwork affordable and accessible, but still adequately compensating our artists who primarily are underrepresented and undercompensated, has been super important to us.
Yeah. Well, and I really respect both you and Kurt, because you guys, much like us, you have full-time jobs, you have things that you do all the time, and then you also have this side project that is so important to you that, you know, you're, you know, trying to keep up as well, but you're doing it in like a really great way in servicing the community as well. So we are, you know, of course, huge fans of that within itself, because it is just so special and you kind of don't see it super often, not as often as you would like to see it.
But I
think it's wonderful that, you know, that you guys have this going on.
Yeah. And I think you saying that kind of like brings up an interesting thing that we experienced here. So when we started doing our pop-ups, we reached out to a lot of the like traditional gay businesses here in Austin, like the gay clubs and the gay adult stores and things like that. And we heard absolutely no response from any of them. But then we reached out to people that we knew in like breweries or coffee shops or things like that. And they were 100% supportive, because it's been an interesting dichotomy to see who actually is willing to kind of show up for the independent queer artist or the independent queer maker and things like that, and actually put their money where their mouth is in terms of supporting community.
Right. Well, isn't it so funny? Because, you know, like the gay bars and things of that nature, like it has to be sexy, right? And mm-hmm. and sometimes a podcast is not sexy. Sometimes, you know, creating like a little shop, unless you're selling like jock straps and, you know, dildos, like they don't necessarily care, because that's, you know, it's like not necessarily sexy, but you will find a lot more support with those that, you know, that really enjoy in the smallest places, right? Like it's like people mm-hmm. that like wouldn't even think would give you a time of day. Like they're the ones that are like, oh my God, yes, please give me your postcards. Give me anything that you have. I will definitely make sure that people know about you. I'll talk about you all the time, which is like special.
100% what we've experienced. And I think that's just like, that's just a testament to the independent queer community that I think we all have continued to create and foster, because there's almost like a corporate level of some of those larger gay chains that they don't feel, well, I don't, whether it's the time of day or it's just not important or it's not sexy or mm-hmm. it doesn't align, who knows what, but to your exact point, it's the smaller people that you would completely, you're just emailing or sending an Instagram message on a whim being like, help. And they're like, they're willing to drop everything to support you.
Sure.
It's incredible. So you all have come from pulling up a table with four legs and pop-ups to having your own space. What's your vision for what you're doing right now?
The same question. Get out of here.
I like that. Yeah, I think so currently what we are trying to focus on is one of the perks of the space that we have is the management company that we're running from has given us permission to do events. And obviously it's a very, very weird and challenging time to do events, but sure. It is something that is super important to us because one, creating those kind of crossroads between the queer community within Austin is super important to us. So I think hosting events is one of the easiest and simplest ways to get those kind of cross communications in. And two, it's really important for us to kind of give back to the community. So the opportunity to host queer themed pop-ups and marketplaces and book fairs and zine fairs and all of these different and drag shows and comedy festivals and things like that. I think it's almost our responsibility as queer business owners to put back into our community in which they have put into us. And so that's kind of our focus for now is figuring out how we can do events, how we can do them safely, how we can do them social distance, and effectively and healthily and all of that. So that's our immediate goal. But long term, I think we would love to expand, to continue to be able to carry more queer artists and queer artwork and queer books and magazines and things of that sort, to put little gay shop shipping containers in other cities. Thinking about expanding into different spaces, so little gay coffee shops, little gay bookstores and things like that, just to create additional spaces within cities that don't necessarily have the infrastructure or community that that we saw in places like New York and San Francisco.
One of the things that Tony and I went to, I'm going to butcher this, but it was, what was the gay Comic Con? FlameCon. Mm-hmm. FlameCon.
I did not butcher.
And so FlameCon was like amazing because like they had like a lot of like queer comic books.
It's my new happy place.
And like really great figurines. I remember the Spice Girl figurines that I was really like, and they also had like Janet Jackson figurines and things like that of that nature.
Oh,
that
I still remember finding like fantasy, and I don't mean like sexual fantasy, but like fantasy, like magic, that sort of thing. I still remember finding fantasy queer books, and I was like, I need all of these. Yeah, this is amazing. Really cool.
And it just sucks that, you know, COVID ruined that for everyone, right? Because you guys don't have the ability to like go there, look at that, you know, connect with those people.
Well, it's still virtual.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's not the same though.
It's different. It's completely different.
But we're in such a strange time. We have to do what we can to get through it.
You have fans in us, and we are so thankful for you and your time. And please give our best to Kurt because he couldn't be here tonight, but he lives on in this interview, which we are so excited about.
He lives on through me, I suppose.
We love it.
So, and I just want to tell our listeners, I know you're going to tell us everything about how to find you, but I just want them all to know that you're doing shipping, you're doing curbside pickup, and you're doing by appointment social distancing within your space so that people can still see, virtually walk through, physically walk through, but in a safe way, everything that you have, which I think is incredible and important.
Exactly. All of those points. And I think one of the major impetuses for us opening up the shop is because when COVID hit, so many of the artists that we work with and so many of the artists that we know kind of got the legs kicked out from under them, because so many of them make their primary source of income from marketplaces, from pop-ups, from events and things like that. And they all just evaporated overnight. And so us being able to open up the shop and be able to support them and be able to allow people to experience their work and their artwork has been one of the most rewarding things that we have experienced thus far with having the shop open.
We love that. Amazing. So if our listeners want the opportunity to experience Little Gay Shop or buy from your amazing array of artists and fun little wares, where can they find you all?
Yeah, easy peasy. It's just thelittlegayshop.com. Nothing.
I love it.
Yeah, no frills, nothing fancy. We have an Instagram account too, so it's just at thelittlegayshop, where we do a lot of posts promoting artists that we don't necessarily carry, but whose work is really impactful and that we want to continue to support and amplify. Yeah, those are kind of our main sources of business at this point.
We love it. Amazing. Justin, thank you so much.
Wait, before you go, is there some special thing you're offering our listeners?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we would love to give anyone listening to this a 10% discount. So just use discount code RELATIONSHIT at checkout and get 10% off. So,
love. And thank you for literally like over pronouncing the T and shit, because I really appreciate that, because I try to focus on that too, because if I speak fast enough, then you will hear relationship.
And you can hear it in the intro. This is relationship.
Yeah, I know. It also doesn't help that like the range that my voice is and my queer lispiness like does not at all help the pronunciation of T's. So I like try to really pronunciate them as much as I can.
And you did awesome.
You did amazing. Again, we want to thank you so much for your time. And again, give our best to Kurt and congratulations to you both, because again, it seems like such a really special and amazing place. And I'm sure our listeners are going to have a fantastic time seeing what they can grab. I feel like I want some back orders, some fun vintage magazines and things like that, because there are so many magazines that I like remember seeing like in my very like wee gay life that I'm like,
he means young, he wasn't into water sports.
Oh my god, I think I actually want to like have a issue of that, so I think that's like really cool. So again, congratulations and thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, of course, I appreciate y'all reaching out to us, and I appreciate that random person. If you're listening to this podcast, shoot us a message on Instagram or shoot us an email and let us know who you are so we can send you like something cool.
Yeah.
It was me. Do I get
yes. We love it. Awesome. So thank you again. We really appreciate you, and thank you to all our listeners of this month's episode of #QueerBiz. We really appreciate you. Join us next month when hopefully some other amazing queer biz will be nominated, but they will never be like the little gay shop, because you guys were the first. So, but we look forward to another gay shop that we get to bring to your gay attention, or your queer attention, I should say, queer all-inclusive attention. And we thank you all so much for listening to this month's episode. We will see you soon. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
So if you're anything like me, then you love buying things.
I don't think anybody likes buying things as much as you do.
I will take that as an accolade, thank you.
Take it however you want.
That said, I like buying things and find even more pleasure buying from LGBTQ+ businesses and services.
That's why once a month, Marco and I host a mini-sode under the relationship umbrella called #QueerBiz, and we need your help.
If you are a business owner or like shopping from an LGBTQ+ business or service, please reach out to us.
Head to our website, podrelationship.com, right now and submit your favorite queer business or service right there on our site.
On the third Friday of every month, a new episode of hashtag Queer Biz will air, where we will talk to a queer business owner about their business or service.
Our goal is to connect you all with people within the community that you can support and lift up by shopping from or utilizing their business or service.
So head to podrelationship.com today and submit a hashtag Queer Biz for the next episode of our monthly minisode.
And don't forget to check out the businesses we've already highlighted. Their information is on our website, so go give them a little love when you can.
We thank you for supporting our LGBTQ+ family.